If you stand in the cooking oil aisle with eyes glazed over in confusion, we all understand. We've been there. And with every new health report, with every new must-try recipe, there is another oil conundrum. Should it be olive, corn, or avocado, sunflower, coconut, or canola? Well, I think Ellie Krieger is a good person to talk to about this. Ellie knows both nutrition and good eating. Her latest book is Weeknight Wonders. And we asked our contributor, Patty Hinnage, to get together with Ellie.
Lovely to be talking with you, Ellie.
Great to be here, Patty.
Now, Ellie, if I were in your kitchen right now, which oils would I find?
Oh, gosh. Well, I have a few at my fingertips. Mm-hmm. I have two olive oils in my home, for example. One olive oil is a really full-flavored, cold-pressed, extra virgin olive oil that really does not take heat very well. So I don't use that for cooking. I just use that for salads and for finishing dishes. And the thing that's really neat about it is that this type of olive oil has the most antioxidants. So besides having that great fat profile where you have all those wonderful monounsaturated fats that most of us need more of, you also get antioxidant power. And interestingly, there's research that shows that antioxidant power can help you absorb other nutrients. Mm-hmm. And also, the aroma itself can help add to your satisfaction. One study that I read really seems to support that this ultimately has an effect of leading you to feel more satisfied while potentially eating fewer calories. It's truly aromatherapy in helping you get sort of the most sensuousness out of your food without overeating. But I don't want everything to taste like olive oil. I mean, that to me has a certain type of very distinct profile in terms of flavor. Mm-hmm. So when I want something very neutral, usually when I'm making sort of Asian food that I might want the other spices, the ginger, the garlic, the heat to come through and not compete with anything, then I use canola oil for that. And what I like about canola oil, mm-hmm. it's neutral in flavor and aroma. Mm-hmm. It takes the heat very well. So it has a high smoke point. And also because it's primarily this monounsaturated fat, the same type of fat chain that is in olive oil, not only does that monounsaturated fat have good health benefits, mm-hmm. but it also doesn't break down readily with heat. So besides smoke point with oil, when you're cooking with an oil, you want to look at how does that oil stand up to heat in terms of forming free radicals or becoming rancid?
Right. Exactly. And how do you know when an oil has gone bad? Are there any signs, you know, on the way the oil looks or smells?
You know, I always say the nose knows.
Right.
You won't necessarily be able to tell by looking at it, but you will be able to smell it. So I always recommend taking a whiff of any oil, especially if you haven't used it for a while. And certain oils are more likely to get rancid more quickly mm-hmm. and react more to heat and light than others. And so the oils that react most to heat and light mm-hmm. are your polyunsaturated oils. Mm-hmm. So I was talking a minute ago about olive oil and canola oil. Those are monounsaturated. And our body needs polyunsaturated and monounsaturated. So omega-3, for example, is polyunsaturated. However, omega-3 and other polyunsaturated oils, they become rancid very quickly. Mm-hmm. I love to keep walnut oil, for example. But ideally, you want to keep that in the refrigerator because it's so sensitive to light and heat that will become rancid very quickly. So I buy small quantities of it, and I keep it in the refrigerator. Flaxseed is another example mm-hmm. of a high polyunsaturated omega-3 oil that you'd want to keep in the refrigerator, and you don't want to apply heat to that at all because it will essentially degrade and actually form potentially unhealthy compounds when it is exposed to heat.
Right. You know, I think that in the U.S. we get into these fads with oils. You know, everybody's getting peanut oil, then everybody's getting avocado oil. Then I hear a lot about coconut oil. People are saying how good it is and how tasty it is. Have you used coconut oil for cooking?
Yes, I actually have a jar of extra virgin coconut oil in my fridge. And the thing about coconut oil, I was online researching this, and it's kind of astounding how much misinformation is out there, how much hyperbole I mean, if you really look online, you're going to see this cures just about every ailment you have. There should be really no sick people walking around because we have this wonderful cure-all. So that's really clearly ridiculous. But that said, I think the virgin coconut oil, the one that's the least processed, is really nice. I'll use it instead of butter, for example, in my rice. And it just infuses it with this tropical flavor. But it's an essence, a tropical essence, more than a strong flavor. The thing about coconut oil is that it's solid at room temperature. And the thing that makes it solid at room temperature is that it's made primarily of saturated fat. Now, the health experts have long said saturated fat's bad for your heart, and that's why sort of coconut oil was on the do not eat list. Mm-hmm. But we are learning more about the type of saturated fat that's in coconut oil. And possibly, and I say this possibly because I really feel like the verdict is not in yet, but it seems that the type of saturated fat that's in coconut oil is not as detrimental to our heart health as we once thought. The way I use it, because I like to be a little more sure before I go out and eat, you know, tablespoons of the stuff, mm-hmm. I like to use it sparingly, and I do recommend using it sparingly because it still does appear to raise cholesterol, and it's better to use other oils which may potentially reduce your cholesterol.
Right. So while the jury's out, use coconut oil sparingly.
Yes.
Ellie, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Ellie Krieger is author of Weeknight Wonders. Patty Hinnich's latest book is Patty's Mexican Table. Now, Ellie left us with a recipe for tuna and white bean salad with radicchio. It's at splendidtable.org.